Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hello out there, everybody. People that are listening to us, no matter where you are in the United States or in the world, it could be morning where you are, might be evening, it could be the afternoon, but wherever you are, whatever time zone you're in, we certainly welcome you into this radio show. This is a Christian radio show, and I'll just make it quick. We designed this program. By the way, my name is Eddie L. Miller. I'm the founder and the co-host of Blood River Radio. And it is May the 2nd. We barely missed that communist, Satanist holiday, May Day. May Day was yesterday. It's a humongous holiday for Satanists and communists all over the world, people we are sworn to fight against. But anyway, like I said, it's May the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2020. And it's always going to be the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that we pay attention to, really. There's no other name under the sun in which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. But listen, we're going to do the show a little bit different tonight because we have a special guest coming on. I will introduce in just a minute. And we also have one of my co-hosts. Our co-hosts have been kind of AOL lately, but they have their own schedule. But I'll introduce them in just a second. I'm going to give a quick outline. We're going to make it quick. People, it has been a very, very fiery 2 weeks. I don't know if you know it or not, if you haven't been tuning in, but we've been doing a series on the Holocaust. We've done almost four hours of radio on nothing but exposing the Holocaust, what we like to call the Holo hoax. And you know why? People will say, well, it's too much time. And we may even spend enough time. Some people might even get bored and tired of listening to us. But listen, here's why we've been doing it. There is no greater lie that's been told in the world ever than the lie that's been told about the Holocaust. And why is it important? It's because it's important to this day. Even though it started about over 70 years ago, that lie is the chief lie besides being, besides our enemies telling our youngsters that they're racist, they're homophobes, they're this, they're that. There's no greater lie that they've used to beat our people over the head than this so-called Holo hoax. Almost every Western nation in the world still paying money. Germany paying money to the state. Switzerland paying reparations to Israel. That's why we did it. And they're not going to be on tonight. Our ladies that have been doing the Holocaust, they're going to be on next week again. But tonight, before I go any further, I'd like to say I talked to Jason Bartlett last week. He's our guy, the Boer Trekker over here, the Boer who's walking to Washington, D.C. He's had to suspend his walk for obvious reasons I won't go into. He's working on a farm in the South doing hard physical labor, saving his money. He's going to begin his walk again, hopefully, August the 1st. That's what he said. So please keep him in mind. Tonight, furthering the outline before we go to our guest, tonight, the second hour, it's going to be me with Dr. Michael Hill. He's the founder of the League of the South and his, I think, chief of operations. I can never remember Ike Baker's full title, but I think he's the chief of operations for the League of the South. Anyway, they're all hardcore. They're going to be on the second hour. But tonight, if you notice, I didn't give the prayer. We're going to stall that. I'm going to pass the prayer off, and I've already made a few prayer requests myself. But anyway, we're going to bring Jacob Tyler on right now. We're going to bring the pastor on in just a minute. Jacob, how you doing, son?
I'm doing fantastic, Pappy. Really glad to be on air with you tonight, and I'd like to extend a warm greeting to everyone out there in the audience.
Well, thank you so much. Why don't you give the listeners, before we're going to bring the pastor on, as you know how fast this first segment goes, give the people just the mini introduction of what you're going to be doing with the pastor tonight, Jacob, because you're going to be running this mostly.
We have Pastor Everett Ramsey on with us tonight, and a lot of you are familiar with him already, but he's the fellow that he was very heavily involved in that infamous America's First Padlocked Church ordeal. There was a documentary that was made about it way back, and there's been books written on it and whatnot. So we're going to be talking with him tonight and getting his hot take on current affairs that are going on right now, too. So it's a real special show we got lined up for you, and Pastor Ramsey is just a real joy to talk to and very, very wise and notable pastor in this in these troubled times we live in. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, no one's looking forward to it more than I am, Jacob, that's for sure. And I know you'll do a bang-up job. I've already seen your outline. It kind of reminds me of Monica Schaefer's outline. It looks like it came from a college textbook. as people might know, I kind of fly by the seat of my pants. I've kind of had to do that all my life, but I'm really looking forward to that. You know, I'm so happy that we have a pastor on, Jacob, that has not been, Captain, he hadn't been taken over. He doesn't worship at the trough of, the chosen people. He doesn't, most of the Southern Baptists nowadays, they think before you get into heaven, you have to have one of our Jew brothers in your left hand. You have to have a black in your right hand. If you can't find one, you need to borrow one. And if you can't borrow one, you have to buy one. You have to go to Haiti or the Dominican Republic or someplace like that, Kenya. Kenya and the Dominican Republic, Haiti, they're the favored nation. Where we go down there, and I know people who've paid $40,000 to adopt these black kids. But anyway, our pastor does not believe that. He actually believes, I know this is really weird, now Jacob will agree, he actually believes that there's one way to heaven. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. Back to you, Jacob, son.
Well, yeah, and amen. And it's... Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too much into it now. It's just, suffice it to say, Pastor Ramsey has been in the trenches for a long time, and it is something to be treasured in this day and age to find preachers who will tell it like it is. I know I'm blessed to know a handful myself, but they are few and far between. So it's just it's a rare treat to be able to have one on the show We have them on occasionally. We try to introduce you folks to them just as fast as we can find them. And I'm real excited about tonight's show, and I think you folks are really going to enjoy it as well. So.
By the way, Jacob, I don't know if you know this or not, but a lot of people will be shocked, absolutely shocked when I tell them. It is true. I'm not lying. My grandfather, my paternal grandfather, was a Baptist minister. He was a free will Baptist minister. But let me tell you what kind of Baptist minister this dude was. He was killed before I was born. He was stabbed. It's pretty much for the way of life in Bloody Breathitt County back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He was hardcore. He was a deputy sheriff, justice of the peace. He worked in the fields like the Apostle Paul was a tent maker, and he made tents to earn a living because he didn't want his people supporting him. Anyway, people, enough of my mouth. Anyway, I was really proud of my grandfather who he had to shoot a guy in the field one time, but he was a pastor. Anyway, we're going to our break, and then when we come back, Jacob is going to introduce the pastor. Hang on, people.
Conceived in liberty, carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
People, thank you for holding on. As we said earlier, it is May the 2nd in the year of our Lord and Jesus Christ, 2020. And now we're going to go right back to my co-host, Jacob Tyler, who he's going to introduce our very special guest tonight. Jacob, go ahead and introduce our guest tonight.
Thank you, Pappy. Well, yeah, like I was saying earlier, friends, we have a very special program for you tonight. And our guest is, you might say, a bit of a folk hero, a modern-day folk hero in our circles. He's too humble to refer to himself as that, or maybe even too humble to acknowledge what I'm saying. But as I mentioned earlier, a lot of us are already very, very familiar with the story of Pastor Ramsey and Pastor Dixon and the whole America's First Padlock Church debacle. And it's very rare that we actually get to hear the story from one of the key players involved. So, Pastor Ramsey, are you you on the line?
Yes, thank you very much, Jacob.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're thrilled to have you on. And
we're ready to go. Whatever direction you want to take, we'll try to follow.
Pastor Everett, I'm really glad to have you on too. But I'm just going to welcome you to the show. I'm so glad to have you here. But Jacob's going to be driving this interview tonight. I'm just going to be here listening and bringing y'all in and out of the break. So go ahead, Jacob.
Right.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, God bless.
God bless you.
So yeah, just starting out, Pastor Ramsey. We were hoping that you could just give us the whole backdrop, regale us a bit with that whole story about.
Church in Nebraska. That's where the one you're talking about. Just a little bit about myself so people know me. I was born in Oklahoma in 1939. My father was a preacher farmer, and my mother was a daughter of a Dutch farmer in Arkansas. And the unique thing about my background was, one of the unique things is that my dad was 40 years older than my mother. And they had both been married, and their spouses had died, and they got together, and they had two sons, me and my brother. I'm the oldest, and eventually my mother died when I was very young, about 3 years old. She was only 32 years old, had cancer, cervical cancer, and died. So our older father, if you can imagine being in your 70s and you got two little boys there that are 3 or 4 years old, he was going to put us in a children's home. And my mother's sister had married a man, and they lived in Missouri. That's where I'm at. And they had a rather large ranch. They had 6,000 acres of timberland and 400 head of cattle and a lot of different things. Unfortunately, she was a Christian, but he was not. And found out later in years that he actually was from the Canaanite background, and he hated God and hated Christians. He was very much in conversation with the Rockefellers and others in New York. And I have his papers. He was a lawyer in three states. I have his papers where he said, we'll never be able to bring about world government until we eliminate the Christians. And I said, amen to that. So he knew where it was. And when I surrendered to preach at 16 years of age, he pulled me aside and said, I'm taking you out of the will. I'll never finance somebody working for God. So that's the kind of a home I came up in. I was converted to Christianity as a youngster, about 12 years old, and I wound up being baptized in Southern Baptist churches here, First Baptist Church of Houston, Missouri. And later on, I got married, went into the ministry, went to college, and so forth. That's kind of how I got started. I pastored Southern Baptist churches for many years, but found it was a very, very distressing struggle. They were very much geared around money, evangelism, getting new people in, no matter who they were, getting people to pray a prayer and get baptized and so forth. So eventually I went to the independent Baptist ranks, if you remember those names, there was Brother Rice down in Tennessee, and he had Jack Hiles up north, and he had a lot of big preachers building big churches. And it was during that stage of things that I took a church in Louisville, Nebraska. When I had the first Sunday I was there, it's located about halfway between Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska, out in the cornfields. The town had 1,000 people. When I had the first Sunday I was there, counting my wife and two children, we had 17 people. The church had been in existence for several years, but it had not grown. It had struggled, and they called me to pastor the church, and 1 year later, we had a high attendance day of over 100. When I left there in 1986, we had over 500. We built a new building, built a school. We started a school, and that's where it all as we might say, all hell broke loose, was because we had some people in the town who were not even members of my church, but they were good men. They were of a different denomination at the time, and they were trying to get into the local high school to get a hold of the curriculum that was being taught, and they were met at the door by the superintendent and said, all of our curriculum is off limits to the parents. They cannot see it. You have to trust us. Well, they were very disturbed by that because they knew that the public schools were teaching socialism, communism, and people say, well, if you have a Christian teacher or a Christian that's the head of the superintendent of the schools, that makes it good. Well, I tell people who say that, we'll just go downtown to the local bar and get a Christian bartender. That'll be fine. Then everybody can go down and get drunk on Saturday night. Is that what you're saying? And one superintendent said to me, well, no, the stuff they dish out is harmful. I said, yeah, and the stuff you dish out is harmful, too. And so we started a Christian school, and everybody, our people said, no, we do not want the state to run it. We don't want them to select the curriculum. We don't want them to select the teachers. And I was degreed. My principal had a degree. We're talking more multiple degrees. They were well-trained. My daughter was trained in education, and we ran the school, had helpers, and had others that ran in the school. We used the ACE program, and when we finally wound up being prosecuted and brought to court, we actually brought in their state overseer for testing from Texas A&M down in Texas. He came up. We had to pay him $300 a day in expenses to get him to do it, but he came up, and he tested our students. And when he got finished, he said that our students averaged 3 to 4 years ahead of the state schools, and for the same age and same grade. And we wanted to go to the federal courts and put that into the suit. And when we got there, the judge says, I'm not going to have this hearing today. We're not going to take testimony about the grades of the school. This case is not about education. Boy, now, we'd always suspected that. But when they said this is not about education, we knew right away that it was about brainwashing children for a government system that is totally anti-Christian. And if you look at what's coming out of the schools these days and the colleges, that's where our children would have been if we had followed their system. But thank God we didn't. They ordered us to close the school. We opened in 79. They filed suit in early 80. The trial went on for several months, and then we went through the appeals. Of course, they said we lost, and we went through the appeals, went all the way up to, at that point, Jimmy Carter, I think, was president, and the Supreme Court refused to hear our case. So then the state of Nebraska went into enforcement, and they pulled us in and said, okay, you're going to go to jail if you don't close it down. And I said, well, the people don't want to close it down. I'm the pastor. I'm not going to close it down. And
well, Pastor Jacob, I hear the music coming. We've got to take a quick break. Pastor, hold on your seat. People, we have Pastor Everett Ramazzione and Jacob Tyler running this interview, and we're talking about a real church versus the satanic government. Be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Labor Secretary Eugene Scalia is confident in the economy's eventual revival as states begin to reopen.
I think that our economy has a chance as we reopen now to get back to where it was. You know, we were so strong a couple of months ago. We had to take this pause, but I think as we begin getting back, people are going to be pleased to be back at work and get that economy going.
Business leaders view anti-lockdown protesters with skepticism, with some keeping them at arm's length. Protesters are continuing to gather all across the United States, including Illinois, where in downtown Chicago, this protester has a message for Illinois Democrat J.B. Pritzker.
The governor's overstepping his bounds. His 30 days are up. He needs to go home, take his silver spoon, and feed some of the people with it.
Protesters also unhappy with the fact that Pritzker's family is not obeying the lockdown. You're listening to USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
The White House is keeping the nation's top infectious disease expert from testifying on Capitol Hill. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
The White House blocked Dr. Anthony Fauci from testifying at next week's House hearing on the federal coronavirus response. The House Appropriation Committee's subcommittee on the Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, Education, and related agencies sought to have Fauci appear at its Wednesday hearing. Fauci, as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, serves on the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Former Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Dr. Tom Frieden is expected to appear at the Wednesday hearing.
Whether to open beaches and other outdoor spaces is a major consideration for governors and mayors this weekend as more of the country looks to emerge from the coronavirus pandemic lockdowns. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is leaving it up to his local leaders to make those decisions. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, we're going to go right back to any, well, without any delight to Pastor Eric Ramsey. Before I do, I've got to ask Pastor Ramsey a quick question. Would you happen to know a Brother Terry Ginn from up there in that part of Missouri, Pastor? Because he, too, said that this Brother Rice you're talking about, I don't know if that's the same Rice, but they said that he was a great mentor to him. But anyway, I think I'm going to go to Jacob. Jacob has a prayer request for you after you answer that question, Pastor.
Okay, I'm not sure. I couldn't hardly hear the question. What was it about? Could you repeat the question, or somebody give me the question?
Do you know? Have you ever heard of a Terry Ginn? Who was his father was a Baptist minister in Missouri, and he spoke of a Brother Rice.
Well, the Rice that I'm thinking of was the evangelist out of down so close to Chattanooga, Tennessee, south of Nashville. He had a prize called The Sword of the Lord. He had a magazine called Sword of the Lord.
Okay.
He was in the fundamental Baptist ranks years
okay.
ago.
Okay. Well, yeah. I have a different one. I apologize for that interruption, Jacob.
No,
Jacob, go ahead and, yes, sir. Jacob, go ahead and get that prayer request in like you wanted to.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it's a small world regardless. More often than not, we do.
Yes.
There's a lot of overlap between the folks we've all encountered. So, Pappy mentioned at the beginning of the show, Pastor Ramsey, we customarily begin with a prayer, and we thought it would be rather fitting if we could prevail upon you to do that tonight. And,
okay.
So we're hoping
all
that
right, we'll do that now, if you'd like.
Who
is the person I need to pray for?
Oh, well, it's just a
everybody.
General
okay.
prayer, you know, about the state of the nation
right.
and the show that we're endeavoring here and, you know, all that good stuff.
All right. So. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and the power he has put upon us through his blood and the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we are troubled deeply by what we see in our day, yet we know that the scriptures told us many things like this would happen. We are not living in fear. We're not afraid. We're amazed. We are amazed at how many of God's people are seemingly so weak and can't stand against the forces of evil. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for these people that have this program. Father, I know that they must have many sharp barbs from the enemy, and we know, Lord, that they must have times of real stress. And we pray that you would give them special power and protection and supply their every needs. So they can carry on with the work. And Father, we pray today that you would anoint my heart, my lips, my brain. We pray, Lord, that nothing would come out that you don't want said, and that what you once said will come out no matter what it is or how we might fear in the human flesh for it to be said. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I know Jacob appreciates it as much as I do. Thank you so much, Pastor.
All right, thank you.
I can't put a money amount on that for how much I appreciate that. Back to you, Jacob.
Okay. Well, before we went to the break, Pastor Ramsey was regaling us with stories of some barbs of his own that he's endured at the hands of our enemies, he and the congregation of his church and the folks who were involved in the school he was starting. And this is such an incredible story, and there's so much to it. But in the interest of time, Pastor Ramsey,
right.
as much as we'd love to hear more, you know, all the details about it and everything, we're about halfway through the hour. So could you shift a little bit to telling us, you know, about the escalation of it and what was involved? And after that, you know, time permitting, we're hoping to kind of compare your story to the current treatment of Christians and the church writ large in the wake of this COVID-19 hysteria and whatnot. So with that in mind and wanting to tie that in with some current events, if you could continue the story with the thought in mind that we're trying to tie it in with a couple other things before the hour's out.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I was just getting to the place where they actually said we were going to go to jail, and that's when Dr. Dixon got involved, Dr. McCurry, and then actually about 5,000 pastors around the country came to our assistance and kept the school going. And then eventually they wanted to padlock the church, which they did. And we had Tim Lee, who came, lost his legs in Vietnam, and he was going to unlock the door with a chain cutter. And the sheriff had been ordered to shoot anybody who tried. So all of a sudden things came to a head, and they took the chains off. And the school continued to operate, but there was a hostility that was being built. And eventually Ronald Reagan got in as president, and he got involved. And in 1984, the case was decided not by the courts, but by the legislature. They passed new legislation that freed all the churches and all of their people. They could have a school, and even homeschoolers could have school. The problem is they left a little hook in there that they had to report. So, but it's awesome, and this is where I'm going to tie it in today with what's going on. It's amazing to me that when there is a man of God somewhere, anywhere, who will stand up and stand up for the word of God, the work of God, that he is automatically clobbered by his peers wherever they are. And that was our case. We had more enemy preachers than we had any other enemies. And recently, in this COVID thing down in Mississippi or Alabama, there was a church. The pastor said, "We're not going to close. We're going to have church." And the attorney general or the governor said, "We're going to fine you $500 apiece." And they did that. And thank God that President Trump and his attorney general came to the rescue and told them that they were not going to act on those fines. But they were highly criticized by their fellow Christians, and I don't quite understand that. One of the things that helped the Christians win during the Roman Empire is that the people stood behind them as they made their stand for what was right, and that's what we're lacking today.
It really is incredible to think about. I mean, we talk about all the ways. I mean, we live in this age of censorship and people being doxxed left and right by members of the radical regressive left. So we deal with that all the time. But it really is quite incredible to think that for all of that, that more often than not, the servants of evil, whether they be whether they know that they're serving evil or not, often don't even have to lift a finger because of the pseudo piety of other, you know, fellow churchmen or just other Christians who want to criticize and beat down Christians who are really, what it boils down to is just doing as their conscience dictates. And
Right. It's
mind-boggling to me because it's not even really historically precedented.
Don't go by that. The preachers today have pounced on Romans 13. That's the ultimate word, and it says to obey the government, do whatever the government wants you to do, which is totally, totally ridiculous. And any pastor that would say that has got to be half nuts. I don't believe they have any right to be in a pulpit. If they're not going to preach in the supreme authority of the Lord God and his law, then they need to get out of the pulpit and go do something else.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, yeah. And that's a great, very interesting point you raised, too. You know, preachers often preaching Romans 13, and we've talked about FEMA's clergy response teams and stuff like that on the show before, too. Mm-hmm. But you're a pastor, Pastor Ramsey. You know, what's an actual, what's the biblical response to that for Christians who are really on the fence about whether or not they owe allegiance to a system that might be telling them to disobey God's law?
Well, I think there are two that come to mind very quickly. In Romans 13 itself, it says that the Lord is the higher power, and every governor is subject to the higher power. And number two is over in the book of Acts chapter 5, the apostles had exactly that kind of a deal they had to face, and they said, we have to obey God, we cannot obey man. So if preachers can't take the word of God and stand on it, when they know that what they're being asked to do is wrong, where in the world did a doctor who's not even a good doctor and anyone else, or even the president? I could see President Trump was really regretting having to do a lot of the things he was doing, but he was being lied to and given a lot of information that was wrong. But these people like Gates and Soros and all these guys, they're very happy to see the church shut down. And if it can be done with fear and mongering through the news media of lies about this virus. They are glad to do it. They'll pay for it. They want the Christians out of this world. And let me tell you, Mr. Gates wants to have universal vaccination. And I'll tell you one thing. He's already said that when they do it, they'll lower the population of the world by 15%. And you don't lower the population of 15% unless somebody dies. And if you don't have, if you don't know who they're going to try to kill, you're certainly a long way off from the main line and mainstream of what's going on in this country.
So now, Pastor Ramsey, forgive me if I'm reading too much in what you're saying
that's fine.
But someone might, some people might.
Jacob, we got to go real quick break, son. We'll be right back after this break. People, this is a tremendous interview. We got a really hellfire and brimstone righteous pastor on, Pastor Everett Ramsey, and I think Jacob's doing a marvelous job. We'll be right back, people.
Kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosherified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, our day just been made. I'm very happy to announce that the pastor we have on tonight, Pastor Everett Ramsey, has agreed to come on two weeks from today because I know we're going to run out of time tonight. We're going to bring him on the second hour next time because the second hour, as our audience knows, is a longer hour because we don't have to deal with as many announcements and things like that. So, Jacob, you'll be glad to know that the pastor has already agreed to come on 2 weeks from tonight, fella. Back to you,
That's
Jacob,
fantastic.
Pastor.
That's fantastic. There is so much more to talk about. Folks, we've been giving you just a snapshot of this story tonight. I mean, you heard me midway through the show. I mean, Pastor Ramsey was given so many fascinating details about this story. He was skimming over it for the sake of brevity. I asked him just so we could kind of tie this in with current events and everything to jump ahead a little bit. There's so much more to the story, and he's actually written a book about it. He's written an entire book telling the whole story. You can get it from his ministry. It's actually very aptly named, America's First Padlocked Church, and we'll tell you at the end of the hour where you can order that book just to get fully up to speed on this incredible story and also support a fine ministry while you're at it. And it's just incredible to think, too, folks. I mean, keep in mind, this all started back in the early 80s. I mean, this 1982, was it, Pastor Ramsey, where it all started?
It kind of started when we opened the school in 79, but it really got hot about 82 in February when I went to jail the first time. And then they padlocked the church in a little bit later in March or somewhere in there. So, there was a lot of things went on. It went on. It took 6 years and $5 million, but the Lord supplied it all, and the victory did finally come. But it's not when you win a victory like that, it's not in stone forever. If the people who come along after you don't stand up, they will lose it. I can guarantee you that the enemy is looking at every single opportunity in your life to take advantage of you. And you got to walk with the Lord every day, and you've got to resist. You know, the Bible says resist the devil. You can't get up in the morning and say, well, Lord, keep the devil off of me, and then you're not willing to stand up and fight him when he comes. That doesn't work.
Amen.
Yes, let me make a quick comment to that, Jacob. I'm on fire. This pastor has really got me fired up like none other. Listen, Thomas Jefferson made a statement that will back up Pastor. He said, you know, the pastor said that we can't just have a law carved in stone. The law's not going to defend itself. Thomas Jefferson said that we have to have a revolution every generation, so to speak.
Yep.
So back to you, Pastor.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, people have got to stand up, and that's what's the problem here. I think that people are not aware of where we are and what's happening. Many people don't even, when you say Bill Gates, may not even know who he is. He's the head of Microsoft, one of the richest men in the world, and he has been pushing for this vaccine. In fact, I don't know how many people out there know that Mr. Bill Gates actually owns the patent to this coronavirus. He owns the patent. Well, that tells you something right away.
Wow.
Viruses that come in from natural things are not made by man and cannot be patented. That means this virus was made by somebody for the purpose of doing what they're doing. We're dealing with men and women. I don't even have time to go into things that would be shocking to most people that's happening and has been happening for a long time. And we just people are unwilling to open themselves up and say, you know, we're in a battle that we need to fight. And they won't fight, they won't take a stand, and they criticize those who do. And we've just got to stand up, and that's what's toughened me up over the years. I don't care if you support me or not. I don't sell anything. If you want my books, you can have them. I give them away. I give hundreds of them away every day. And the Lord seems to supply the money, and that's the way I do things. I don't sell anything. I just give it away. And that's the way it's been with me. I just stand up for what's right, and as long as the Lord lets me live and stay free and I can stand up, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to back down from it.
Amen. Amen.
My God. What do you think about that, Jacob? Is that hellfire and brimstone righteous or not?
That's righteous indignation.
indeed.
Damn right.
Indeed it is. And it's, you know, you're talking about the importance of being courageous in the face of this evil. I was talking to Pastor Ed DeVries just yesterday. We had him on recently, a lot of you may recall, and we had a fantastic interview with him and hope to have him on again soon as well. And he was telling me, you mentioned, Pastor, that there were like some 5,000 preachers that were involved in advocating for y'all and everything. Well, he was telling me this story about a meeting that had occurred at a Denny's, and it had gone on late into the evening, and Jerry Falwell, as in the Jerry Falwell, or the late Pastor Dixon, your old friend who was involved in that with you too, and Pastor D. James Kennedy also, and I assume other people, were there at this Denny's. And Pastor Dixon, from what Pastor Ed was telling me, Pastor Dixon had been making you guys' case and saying how important this issue was. And finally he said Jerry Falwell pounded his hand on the table and said, "We all know that Greg is right, but if we do what he's doing, we're going to lose everything." And if that doesn't speak to the severity of the problem about, Pastor Ramsey, I don't know what is. Because, we got famous spiritual leaders in the country who are just in fear of man.
The big thing, and we haven't even touched on things that I learned through this process, but I have to tell you at least one. One of the things we learned as the judge took me up out of the jail one night and talked to me, and he wanted to solve the problem without us being totally destroyed. And he said, the state is telling me I need to bulldoze down your buildings as a nuisance. But he said, I don't want to do that. And he took the time to show me that because we were incorporated, our trustees were really people working for the state to protect the property for the state. And if it becomes a nuisance, they have the right to tear it down. And I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. You get me out of this jail and I'll go down and unincorporate. Well, he let me out the next week. I went and unincorporated the church and filed a motion in the court to dismiss the case. He would have done it, but the Supreme Court got wind of it, and they took him off the case and put up another judge. And he was a tough sucker, and he wouldn't go along with it. But the churches today are helpless. They are actually worthless, most of them. They have absolutely no civic voice. How long has it been since I live in a town of 2,000 people? We've probably got 60 churches in this town, and I never see anything in the paper from any of them about what's wrong with the city council or the schools or anything else. It's always glorifying everything that's going on. It's that days when the prophet said they'll come to the time when they call good evil and evil good, and that's where we are. And the churches are not going to take a stand because they'll lose their 501c3s and their incorporation status. They want things to be peaceful and quiet, and the truth is that Christianity is confrontational. If it's not confrontational with sin, then it's not doing what it's supposed to do.
You tell them, Pastor. Amen. Pastor, are you speaking of the Whore of Babylon?
She's pretty much the encompasser of it all. But there's a lot of people out there that are a problem. They may or may not be hooked up with her totally, but of course the system is. And the Gates people and all those people are certainly in the Whore of Babylon, and the money system and all of it. So that's a whole different story. We're not onto that today. So maybe we'll get into it next time.
Well, I'm sorry, I butted in with Jacob. I'm just so fired up. Go ahead, Jacob.
I hear you. I am too, Pappy. Well, we are at the end of the hour, unfortunately. We got about 5 minutes left before the music comes in. So, Pastor Ramsey, real quick, I know you said you give away your books when necessary, but I know a lot of folks listening to this are going to want to support your ministry just the same. So can you real quick tell folks that your website where they can go and get the copy of America's First Padlock Church and read the whole incredible
story? The easiest way is to go to EverettRamseyDD.com. That's my personal website and the church website. On every page in there, you'll find a form you can fill out, and you can. It comes right to my email. I'll get it. Or they can send a letter to Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 18, Houston, Missouri 65483. My YouTube channel is simply GodsCovenantPeople.com. If you Google that, it'll take you into my channel. But anyway, I'd be glad to send people copies of my books. The latest book is The God Made a Racial Choice. It's about 400 pages. There's a book I wrote on the parables, Kingdom Parables. It's about 200 pages. I've got the commentary on the Book of Romans. They can have them all. I don't care. I'll send them up. I box them up and send them out of here every day. I consider it a blessing that they even want them. So, be glad to do it. I don't charge anybody. If they want to give an offering to the ministry, that's fine. If they don't, that's fine.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Folks, check out that website. Like Pastor was saying, it's EverettRamseyDD.com. and you can get his books on there. He's a very prolific writer, has a lot of excellent material. I have copies of most all of his stuff now in my own library. And yeah, he's just a phenomenal writer, and definitely check out his work and support his ministry. We ask that of you tonight. And with that being said,
Jacob, we'll have to get him linked to our website.
Yes, absolutely. I'll put it in the show notes.
Well, thank you so much, Jacob. Thank you so much, Pastor. I can't wait to get you on 2 weeks from tonight, second hour, which is a little long.
Appreciate
yes, sir. Thank you.
God bless you.
Well, you flat got me fired up, Pastor. Thank you so much, people. You've got to be listening to a real, sure enough, righteous pastor. Stay tuned for the second hour. We're going to bring Michael Hill on, Dr. Michael Hill. The commander of League of the South and his right-hand man, his chief of operations, Ike Baker. We'll be right back.